Shogger, before we get to the Oilers, I know you asked Ken Holland. What was your thoughts today about Ken Holland's press conference and what came about from the Chelios story and everything else?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that Ken, you know, did a pretty good job discussing, you know, some of what went on in the past. You know, he made it clear that in his time and in his tenure in Detroit, he wasn't made aware of any conduct that he viewed as abusive or, you know, outside the bounds. You know, it was a flat-out answer, no. You know, I mean, he contradicted himself a little bit just in terms of, and I don't think he meant to. I just think, you know, because basically the question I asked him, I followed him up with, was a story about Franzen. It's kind of like, you know, about a guy who felt like he was, you know, verbally abused and you know, having breakdowns and really being dramatically affected. And would you have wanted to know if that were going on? And he kind of said, well, I knew what was going on. Like, I knew everything that was going on. But then by the time he got to the end of that answer, he also said, you know, there's some things you don't know about. So I think, you know, he was very clear that this moment has him looking in the mirror, too, and maybe wondering, were there things going on right underneath my nose that were serious that I didn't know about? But I think he, you know, he answered the questions fairly head on. And I you know, you either take him at his word or you don't, that he knew specifics about these things and you know, was sweeping it under the rug. And I tend to take Ken Holland at his word on it. And he stood in there and answered the questions. So I don't know. What do you guys think?
You know, I guess my thing is, I've often wondered this. GMs have so much going on. Do they know the details that are going on around their club as far as players and the coaches' relationship or coaches and trainers' relationships or trainer and player relationship? Like, there's so many things
they're responsible
for.
Well, he claims he does, though. Like, he claims he did, that he was around and that he was aware of everything going on. But then, so, I mean, he painted a picture of him being around enough to know what was going on. And that's where maybe a little bit of the contradiction was, because, you know, then at the end study he said, but, you know, there are things that you don't know. So he paints himself as a guy that was there and was around a lot, you know?
Yeah, it's an interesting. I was just talking in general, like as a GM, you know, they always say, you know, they're trying to keep a pulse on everything, but everything they have to take a pulse on is a lot. And if you're not in that dressing room, I don't even know that GM knows everything that's going on. So they have someone in there that's maybe reporting back to them, or how does that all work? And, you know, I know when we went through it here with Edmonton a couple times, the GMs are trying to figure out what was going on in the room, and you try to explain to them, but that's like my opinion of something I saw. And it wasn't anything as serious as what we're talking about. But, you know, it's I've always wondered how they kind of feel they have a sense of the room when they're not in the room.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Ken Holland probably prides himself as a guy that is present and is around. He said that he tried to speak to his players. I mean, he did year-end meetings with all of them. And he just said there wasn't anything that, you know, not anything came across that was, you know, obviously abusive or inappropriate. And I can't remember exactly how I phrased the question, but his answer was no. So, what are the details about what Johan Franzen went through? You know, we've heard how Franzen feels about his interactions with Babcock. We've heard about how he was left to feel and how he suffered from it. And, you know, when he came out and spoke to the Swedish media about it. And so you take that very seriously. You know, and I'd be interested to know, you know, I mean, details matter, right? I mean, if Mike Babcock was really, really hard on Johan Franzen and really, really pushed him and was, maybe a bit of a jerk about it and whatever, and that resulted in what we're hearing from Franzen, and that's one thing. Mike Babcock, like, brutally, verbally abused him and beat him down with his words and was mentally abusive and, you know, and as a result, he is where he is. Well, that's another story. That's different. And so details matter and perceptions matter. So right now it's Johan Franzen's story, and he's got strong opinions on Mike Babcock. You know, but you have lots of players, you know, Ken Holland today talking about, you know, there were players in the room that felt he was one of the best coaches they ever had. And those voices, you know, can matter as well. So it's a big discussion.
We've got Ryan Rashog on the line, the Edmonton or TSN Edmonton bureau chief, according to his business card. Mm-hmm. Shogger, you know, I had an interaction with someone that, you know, that works in the NHL. I was talking about Oscar Klefbom, and he made the point he doesn't think that that guy gets enough respect how good of a defenseman is. He's a big fan of him. Do you think that we, as fans, as media, as, you know, people who watch the team, are we giving enough due credit to the impact Klefbom has on this team in all phases of the game?
Yeah, well, that was the piece I was going to do today.
Oh.
I was literally going to file that piece on SportsCenter today, and then Ken Holland had his media availability, so obviously you switched directions. But so, yes, Struds, I was going to. I tried.
Okay. Yep.
But no, your point is an excellent one, and you know, Speck wrote it a little bit ago. We've talked for a long time about, you know, the Oilers not having a traditional number one defenseman. Right, they kind of don't have that true, and that maybe only, what, 18, 19, 20 teams have that absolute franchise number one defenseman. And you know, I think you could probably make the point that Klefbom is getting himself pretty darn close to being able to be considered that guy. I mean, you look at his point totals this year, he's putting up points like a number one defenseman, runs a power play, runs a penalty kill, leading the league in ice time. I'm not sure what else he needs to do to kind of qualify himself as that guy. So I think it's a fair point, and I think he should be considered that this year, for sure, this year.
Yeah, and I love the way you phrase that. Like, number one defenseman, I have a really hard time, you know, just labeling someone that. I don't think there's as many as people think, but
no.
I have him as a top pairing defenseman all day long. And I, you know, when I look at what he does, okay, let's check off the box. He just eats up minutes, like you talked about. He puts up points. He protects his teammate or his line mates, not protect physically, but he can back up his line mates, you know, when they have an issue, or play with the younger players when there's some issues there.
He does a lot of mentoring, doesn't he?
Pardon me?
He does a lot of mentoring, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. And I think that we're not giving the guy credit. I think that, you know, well, I think there's a really good defenseman here that we're not giving credit for. And when I say we, I actually, quite frankly, I'm kind of looking at the fans. I think that this guy is a very, very solid defenseman. His cap hit is more than reasonable for what he's delivering on. And I think we got to give this guy a little more love than I think that he's received.
Right. So between Oscar Klefbom's cap hit, Mikko Koskinen living up to his deal this year, and looking at the bargain both Connor and Leon are this year, that's four Peter Chiarelli decisions that are having a pretty big impact on this year. I'm totally trolling. not completely trolling. But, I mean, the point is that, like, you got to place bets on players. And when Peter Chiarelli signed Oscar Klefbom, remember, he was brand new in the job and really hadn't had 30 or 40 games to watch him closely to make a decision on a long-term deal like he gave him. He came in, it was one of the first things he did, kind of sight unseen as far as a GM goes, and signed him to that deal. How good does that deal look now? Holy smokes. Yep. And it's taken Klefbom a little bit of time to grow into it, but you place bets sometimes on young players, and it can really pay off. And so, you know, Chiarelli placed that bet, and it just paid off well for the Oilers. And you wonder how maybe you take that same logic into a scenario with Ethan Bear, where he's showing some signs. He wasn't a first-round pick like Klefbom was, but showing some signs at a fairly young age to be able to handle some things, and, like, there might be some significant upside there. Boy, could you get Ethan Bear to put his name on a 7-year contract, Gregs?
Honestly, it's funny because someone asked me that. If I'm Ethan Bear, and my agent's probably like, okay, Ethan, well, how good do you think you can be? Well, geez, I don't know how good it can be. Like, so if he's getting a 7-year deal, he's probably getting $4 million, right? There's no chance he's getting less than that. I just don't see how, right? And so even if he goes $4 million, if he looks and says, well, geez, you know, I think I could be a legit number two top pairing defenseman for the next 5 years, well, now I might be Nathan MacKinnon in 3 years.
Yeah, Ethan Bear wasn't supposed to make the Oilers this year, and someone throws $25 million on the table for him?
Yeah, he might. You're right. He might, but...
I mean, you know, a bear in the hand. You know, like he wasn't supposed to make the team this year. I mean, he could have been in the American League, and who knows? He gets injured, and, I mean, his fate was... He just spent far less time in the NHL than Klefbom had when they put that deal in front of him. And let's keep that in mind. Klefbom had, several years, though, he dealt with some injuries. He was established with more games under his belt. Ethan Bear, I don't know exactly what that number of that contract would look like, but if they're ready to commit to this player and place a bet, and it would be placing a bet. You know, this is 1 year, and he's playing great. But I can't imagine that he would turn his nose up at that kind of money.
See, I'm with you. I think that he has such a small taste of the NHL. If someone came to me after I'd played, how many games has he played? Is he at... I don't know, is he at 50?
I'll try and hockey DB it while you talk.
No, he played 18, and now he's played whatever this year, so he's not at 50 yet.
Yeah, so let's just make it 50. If someone after 50 NHL games came to me and said, Strutty, we want to sign you to a $4 million deal for 7 years, I would write it in blood. I'd cut my finger off and write it in my name in blood. Like, now, if I have 200 NHL games because I'm just finishing my entry-level contract and I see where I'm going, and I can be like, no, I'll take a bridge. But this is a little different situation, I think. And I think there's an opportunity here for two parties that see a benefit of one signing a long, well, both of them signing a long term. They can be beneficial for both groups. I think this screams Ethan Bear. I think this is something that I'd like to see the Oilers try to get done sooner than later.
5 times 3.5, something like that. By the way, Struts, why wouldn't you just cut your shoulder and dip your finger in the blood? Because if you cut your finger off to sign in blood, you wouldn't be able to play. I mean, you don't have to lop off your finger to sign in blood, but like, cut yourself somewhere else, and you know what I'm saying?
Well, as soon as that, I put my signature on that paper, that's a locked deal, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm done.
So, wait a minute, you just cut off your finger. Never mind. We take it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. Sidetrack.
Shogger, we will see you down at the rink tonight.
All right. Sounds good, man. See ya.